from the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that dial. Live from WGBB 1240 AM, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Hi, Tony.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Okay. Hey, we're surrounded by young kids here again. What are we going to do?
John, this is Jesus' desire. He wants young children.
We want them to make some noise so people know you're here. How about saying hello, everybody?
Well, how many we got here? 30, 40?
723 at last count. It's just a big crowd of people, and we have one special show today.
And it all deals with the youth movement at Madrid.
Youth 2000. These are kids, they just came back from Spain. Although they've been back since the summertime.
Back for almost a month,
right? Oh, yeah. And they had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience.
And they were hit with the Holy Spirit. They're going to tell you their stories, John.
Do they hit back?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
By the way, that was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
He gets a little out of hand at times, and what are you going to do? He just, you know, just loses it. It's just terrible.
It's cool.
We have Tim. Tim?
Tim Froman.
And?
Enzo Vidi.
Okay.
Caitlin Froman.
And Caitlin. And we have all the others who will introduce themselves when they come on later. But, you know, we'd love to tell our listeners about your youth group and about the trip that you took to Spain. Why don't you guys start, Tim and
Enzo,
why don't you start? Okay, tell us.
Well, first, we had some preparation. And, put the mic
go ahead.
Okay, yeah, first we had a lot of preparation because some of the youth who went on a trip, we had 19 kids all together.
And they went to Spain?
Yeah, they went to Spain, Madrid. First, we went to Portugal, Fatima, Portugal, and we had spent a few days there. We saw the shrine where our Holy Mother appeared in Fatima. And the Cova de Ira, where the miracle of the sun took place. And
okay.
The kids participated in a few masses there. One of the kids with us, Sean, served at that mass.
Wow.
And after that, we had gone to a couple other places, Salamanca. We went to a villa. Finally, we went to Madrid, and that's where the Pope was there. And we actually had a little over 2 million youth at that meeting.
2 million
young
people.
And we had camped out in fields. We set up makeshift shelters. And after that, we had gone back to Portugal, to Lisbon, for a little while. And then after that, that was the end of the trip where we came back.
It sounds like it's a trip of a lifetime
for
these young
people. Oh, it certainly was.
In fact, it would be a trip of my lifetime. I don't think I've ever done anything like that. That's wonderful. And Enzo, how about your part of the group in organizing this? Tell us a little bit about what you did.
Well, I was one of the chaperones also.
Oh, you brought chaperones?
Yeah, there were five chaperones, yeah.
Five
Tim
chaperones. Tim
was
what's the matter, you don't trust the kids?
Yeah, no, it wasn't just the kids.
I know.
The only thing is, who was chaperoning
it was
us?
Father John. It was Father Johnny that didn't trust.
Yes, Father Johnny kept us
in
line.
Tell us a little bit, Enzo. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
No, for us, it was also a good experience, a lifetime experience, because... even though we're not kids anymore, but like...
Speak for yourself.
But it was something new, and we were very, very honored to introduce these kids to a very big event.
Two million
people.
Wow.
Made us feel that we were part of something unique. From all over the world with the same desire to know Christ.
Wow.
And
wow.
And before that, though, we arrived in Fatima, which was great. The 3 days in Fatima actually prepared us in a way. So once we got to the World Youth Week, and we participated to the catechist every morning, and we had we had the readings, and we met with other people that ran the churches where the catechist was done. We actually experienced like how other how people that really believe truly work to to bring Christ to others.
And you were doing it to these 19 children that you, young people, not children that you brought with you.
So for us was a really, really, touching experience.
Fatima was very moving.
Fatima was very moving, and we realized that it was just a start. The World Youth Day trip was a start, and now we're trying to continue it with.
And that's the whole point of it, isn't it? It's just a big experience of God and seeing the power of God in 2 million young people.
It was just unbelievable to see so many people. As far as the eye could see in every direction, even I went up on a hill when I was over there in Madrid, and there was a hill that was over a little bit to the side. I had climbed up to the top, and it was in the morning, actually, the morning afterwards. And just looking every single direction, as far as you could see, it was just all people all camped out to see the Pope.
You know, John, it would be remiss on our part at the beginning of the show not to mention the genesis of this trip, which was actually came from Father Johnny.
Yes,
he was the lighting rod, the force that got the trip together.
And we had over 200 people from the diocese take the trip as well. It's really young people from different parts of the diocese. You know, and a trip like that costs money.
Yep, and that's where Caitlin helped out.
Caitlin, why don't you tell us?
Yeah, basically.
Tell us how you raised money for the trip.
With the water jugs, with the 5 gallon water jugs.
Well.
First of all, Caitlin, what's your name? Last name?
Furman. Caitlin.
You're not related to this man, are you?
He's my dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how did you raise money? First of all, why couldn't you make the trip? Tell everybody.
I couldn't make the trip because I had really bad asthma and pneumonia.
But you were there in spirit.
Yeah.
And you raised money.
Yep.
How did you do that?
Instead, I just helped out and I set up water jugs and decorated them and
put them up at the masses
so we can get little pocket change to go to Spain.
How much money did you raise? Do you know?
I think it knocked off $300 or $400 per
jug.
Yeah, it's a kid that went.
You saved $300 or $400.
The chaperones paid their own way completely, and the money that was raised was just to help the youth go.
So
it knocked a couple hundred dollars off per kid.
400 times 20.
Yep.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So
you're welcome.
Yes. They should say you're welcome.
I got no thank yous.
Well.
Oh, knock it off.
But we're so proud of you for doing that.
Yay.
You know, you were responsible for all these young people being touched.
It offset a lot of cost, which was good.
Yes. Yeah. It was wonderful.
And the jugs were really nice. She did a good job on them. She decorated them and
they're all glittery and sparkly.
Put glitter and sparkles on them and everything. Put World Youth Day and they would put them at the entrances to the church where you would go in, and then people would donate, and they did really well. Like each of the jugs had a whole bunch of money in it.
I made them very girly.
Now you're a sophomore. Where do you go to school?
I go to Holy Trinity.
Holy Trinity. Okay.
Oh, I love that school. I love that school.
And she just got accepted to St. John's.
Yay.
Oh, you're a senior.
Yeah.
I said sophomore. Why don't you correct me?
She was a sophomore.
Oh, okay.
So you know Father Joe from the Holy Trinity?
Yep.
Yep. He was really on our show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, we're so proud of you guys that you were able to organize the trip. But you had something else happen in your youth group meetings. How many people do you now have?
Well, we started off, we had about 19 kids that went on the trip. And, a good part of them, at least about a third, go to college. So they couldn't attend the follow-ups. But we have follow-ups on Tuesday nights over at St. Catherine's. And that group has expanded to about, our last meeting was maybe about 35 kids. So it's growing. Father Johnny's been giving talks. We've been having things like movie night where we actually slept over at the parish in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched movies all night. The kids got to sleep at about maybe 1:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And, got up early. We had a mass in the morning. And we watched movies, and one of the movies we watched was on St. John Bosco, which was just a wonderful movie. And the kids had a wonderful time. Father Johnny got a popcorn machine, and we all had popcorn.
That Father Johnny, he's something. But also, what you also have at these meetings is adoration, don't you?
Yes, we do.
And I was very impressed to see
the meetings, 30
kids.
We have adoration.
Going into adoration.
And then we all pray the rosary after adoration.
And wow. 30 kids. Staying quiet during the hour of the adoration.
That was even more.
I do not know how we do it.
Holy Spirit.
And the ages of the people who are here in this room range from eighth grade to sophomore in college.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. It was a very wide group. Sean was the youngest to go on the trip.
Hello.
He was 13. He helped out altar serving, and he altar served at all these shrines
and
that were throughout.
Kid. And
he's my son.
But you know,
what you're
really saying though is that it's just not a one-time trip; it's a life-changing trip.
Oh yes, it was. Yeah, all the kids that went were touched.
Well, we said that before. You're all touched.
Yeah, they're all touched.
Yo, listen.
But it is a trip of a lifetime. And it is
wonderful. Fatima, I found very, very moving. And I don't know if people are familiar with what happened to Fatima. That was the site in 1917 where Mary performed the miracle of the sun. And there were over 75,000 people who actually witnessed that miracle. And there were... even up to 32 miles away, people witnessed that miracle.
Wow.
And even people who were atheists, who refused to go to the COVID era, who were a good far distance from that, had seen that miracle and were converted.
That's wonderful. We're just doing a little shifting around here because I'd love for the listeners to hear from one of the people who took the trip as to what happened. Why don't you just introduce yourself?
This is Jonathan Julian.
Hi, he just said it. My name is Jonathan Julian. I'm 19 years old. I'm right now in my first year at Hofstra University. For what the trip meant for me, it really taught me to be a little bit more attentive in my life, really. Just to pay attention to small matters. Like, before I eat, I never really blessed my food in a way, but now, I have my rare moments I forget, but I do it more, though. I try to really pay attention more. Try to pay attention more to those moments. And also, that's the other thing. Just try to, like, in a way, just try to keep my eyes everywhere.
Were you surprised with what's happened to you?
Really surprised. I wasn't expecting that.
Jonathan, let me ask you. Was there a defining moment on that trip that made you hit this realization that you came to?
I guess I'm going to really say several. I mean, Mass, we went to Mass every day. Rosary, this really got me thinking also. In a way, also, I'm sorry.
I could say, and I'll help you out, because I noticed that you in particular, in Fatima, when we witnessed the kneeling is a practice that people... You know, all pilgrims from all over the world do, and it's actually part of the strip that goes to the shrine that they do on their knees.
Yeah, it's a good distance. I think
it's a good distance. And
now they go through to the shrine on their knees.
Yes, when you get to the place where the shrine is, there's a path which now they made very. Very flat, but years ago it used to be in gravel. So people for devotion would kneel and walk on their knees all the way through the Madonna.
Did you do that, Jonathan?
Yes.
You did that twice.
I did it twice.
Wow.
Wow.
So why don't you tell us the difficulty of that and what meant to you for you?
What it meant for me was, in a way, I kind of did in a way of searching for something. The first time I did, I was kind of, in a way, kind of looking for that mystic, for something, and looking for something. In a way, I didn't really feel it. And then for the second time, actually, there was actually one member of our group. She actually did it three times, actually. And then
Antoinette, right?
Yep, yeah. Antoinette. She did it three times, actually, that really impressed me. And she was actually doing it for the third time. She was doing it for someone who's very sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, each person that does it for a reason. And either to thank God for something or something that they need a miracle for, a loved one, somebody who's sick. You'll see like a lot of people that were doing it. It's about 100 yards, and they go around the chapel, and then they go back up. It's like down a hill. They go around the chapel, and then they go back up, and they do the whole thing on their knees. And you always see somebody doing it on their knees, like when we were doing the mass, when we were having the mass there. You would see people going that distance on their knees back and forth. When we went on a trip, I actually have a coworker who has a house in that's not far from Fatima in Portugal, and he came to visit us, and he told us basically the history behind that. And he said he was talking about when people came back from the war and they would that they made it alive, they would do that trip on their knees. Currently now it's like almost like a marble type stone that they do it on. Before it was like, as Enzo said, it was gravel, and I couldn't even imagine anybody doing that on gravel.
Wow.
Because all the kids that were doing it or that partook in that, their knees would be all cut up. If they were wearing pants, the pants would be all ripped open. Like, how were your knees after that? They were all.
I was wearing actually long jeans too. I thought I wouldn't get marks, but then when I pulled on my pants, actually I had like really burn marks and peeling skin.
Yeah, we had actually we brought a medical kit, a med kit, and Father Johnny had requested us to bring up.
Well, Jonathan, I captured your sensation, and now that I'm remembering, you told us how hard it was to finish. To get to where you wanted to get when you started.
Yep.
And you were amazed to see that other people actually came in and helped you do that.
Yeah.
So that was impressive. That was really, you know, the meaning, I think, that, you know, you wanted to get to the shrine and you wanted to get there even though you knew it was going to be painful for you. At one point, you couldn't make it, but as you realize, other people came and helped you, and that was nice for you to experience, because it is really the meaning in that particular, you know, devotion. You also have to accept the fact that there's others that can help you. You know, as long as you have the will, you'll get there.
Yeah, he was about maybe 3/4 through the second time. We saw that he was having a lot of difficulty doing it. And I came up to Jonathan, and I had asked him, you could get up if you want to. And he wanted to go through with it. And I helped him under one arm. And there was a local from Fatima who was there. And he was an elderly fellow. And he came over, and he helped under Jonathan's other arm. And then we escorted him, you know, helping him under each arm the rest of the trip up the back of the hill. And it was just wonderful, you know, how people would come and just assist those who were having difficulty making it.
Well, this discussion was going on. I just thought got to me that all those helpers were sent by Jesus. And it also reminds me of a last week's show with Father Tony when he was in Medjugorje. Yeah. And he was walking on his knees, and his knees got scraped. And then when he finished and he sat down and he felt...
Jesus
kissing
his
knees, and I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus did that for you.
I think he did it with all of them.
He did.
Kids who participated, I think there were probably about maybe 6 or 7 that had done it, and they were all sitting on a bench at the top, and I felt bad, like all the knees were all cut up and everything, and I had the medical kit, and I was dressing their knees up, and I think that's exactly what was happening.
You may not realize this. This was your defining moment, Jonathan. Yeah.
I want to ask you, though, Jonathan, we're talking about all these wonderful, holy, spiritual things. What was the most fun you had in the trip?
The most fun I had in the trip?
Didn't expect that question,
huh? the beach.
On the beach? Yeah.
What did you do? Tell us.
Well, we actually, and during, when I was believing in Salamanca, actually, a lot of actually World Youth Day groups were gathered in the main plaza. And it was actually a big show going on where people were...
So I just want to set the background. There were squares that are set up that they used to use for bullfights. And some of them were large and some were a little smaller, but we were in one that was huge. It held about 30,000 youth.
Okay. And what did you do?
We actually did the Macarena, the YMCA, and also a lot more other dances from other countries.
You know why I'm pointing that out? God likes to have a good laugh and wants to enjoy things with you.
Oh, they had a great time. Oh,
sure. And being young like that.
They ended up doing like a dancing train when they were done. You see all the kids going around in circles and the bands. They had bands playing from all different countries.
Yeah, and I'm looking around the room and nobody's walking on water in this room. You're all just regular kids. The reason why I want people in the audience to hear that, these are regular, typical young people. And then no saints in the room, and who's our second person up? Jonathan, thank you so much.
Oh no, thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Come on in. Let's hear you introduce yourself and tell us who you are.
Hi, my name is Katharina Vidi. I'm Enzo's daughter, and
this is a family thing.
Proud parents, boy. I'll tell you.
And I'm also in college. I'm in my second year at NASA Community. And
go ahead.
Jonathan was talking about Salamanca, and I just wanted to continue with that. After Fatima, we went to Salamanca in Spain, and I was very impressed with the city, and I would say that would be one of the most memorable moments of the trip for me.
You Spanish? Yourself?
No, we're Italian.
Italian,
but
okay.
Yep. Even though people say I look Spanish, but.
Do you speak Spanish?
I'm learning actually at NASA. I want to learn. I want to become fluent in Spanish. One of my future goals later on is hopefully to become a translator. And
wonderful.
Yeah, this trip also, just as a side note, also helped me see like the world more internationally and just sparked my interest in doing something to help others, you know, who are from different cultures and stuff. It was very moving. And just the city itself of Salamanca was beautiful. Like you saw all the monuments and the churches. That was one of the things that really hit me, because like at nighttime, the hotel where we stayed at, you could go at the very top of the balcony and you just see all the city in lights, but you see the churches rising up out of the city. In that one city, there was like three or four churches. So you saw like the magnificence of it. And it just really.
Did you get to see the Pope?
The Pope wasn't in Salamanca, but.
No, and as part of the trip.
We actually couldn't get too close to him, but we saw him on the TV screens because of the magnitude of people that were there.
Supposed to be closer, but
I heard you.
It was a little chaotic, but we were supposed to be closer.
You know, Pope Benedict, when he went to Germany for last year's youth group meeting, a young man came up to him who had cancer. And he prayed with him, and the young man was healed of his cancer. And the Pope has that wonderful gift of healing, which I think is phenomenal. You know, we don't think of healing today.
John Paul II, right?
No, the Pope Benedict.
Oh, Pope Benedict. Yeah. Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, Pope Benedict last year. John Paul II as well had the gift of healing. Right? Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And you know, the way we're taught in Scripture is anyone around who is close to God has that gift. You just have to be able to pray with other people. and let them be touched. What was the best part of the trip for you? Salamanca, was that it?
I would say Salamanca, and also I think the whole trip itself was awesome, but like the three main points I would say was Fatima, Salamanca, and like the catechesis of World Youth Day, which pretty much would prepare you for the actual World Youth Day, like that one day itself. But like for a couple of days before, we would go to this one church, and we would meet with other like people who spoke English, and it's kind of like we would have like scripture and like discussion. There would be like a bishop, and he would like tell us certain things, and then we would have mass afterwards. So yeah, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that, because at one point of the catechesis each day, there would be a youth or like two or three youths who would say how they were touched by Jesus in their life, you know, how just ordinary people like us, like what you said, how mm-hmm. they were touched, and it was very inspiring to hear that from other
So things. Now that you bring that up, can you tell us how you were touched by Jesus?
I would say sometimes, like, you think when you go on these pilgrimages that it's supposed to hit you, you know, like this. Like at one point on the trip, it's supposed to be like, bam, you know, like mm-hmm. God is coming into you. I think for me, it was more like I had to be willing to open up and just to humble myself so much that even if, you know, I didn't feel that or whatever, I just would be happy with myself and just, you know, just have that happiness go to everybody. And I would just say, just one like specific instance when I felt at peace was the morning in Salamanca. Also in the morning, I went up to the balcony before we had to leave really quickly before breakfast, because I woke up early, and I was just looking at the city, and it was just so peaceful. So I just, you know, you have to give thanks to God. And yeah, I would say that was
wow. God's peace in you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, wow. And Jesus works like that. He doesn't hit you with a bang. He hits you slowly. Mm-hmm. And he brings you in slowly.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
He'll get you with a bang.
Well, I think that's important, because in our life, you know, in the United States where we live, everyone is so busy. So it's really important just to have those moments sometimes.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. Let's get the third person up, huh? Who's the third? Come on. You know, listeners, you know, we have a room full of young people who were touched by Jesus on this trip. Why don't you tell people who you are? And what happened? Move up closer to the mic.
I'm Sean Froman.
Another Froman?
That name sounds familiar. We got the Froman clan here.
Actually, I never heard of these people. Help.
We all know you. You do a great job altar serving, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the eighth grader?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was the trip like for you, Sean?
It was very good. Like, I never really said anything like that before. The only thing I was planning on doing that summer was just, like, staying home or, like, going out to play, like, a game or something with my friends. But it was really something different to, like, learn about, like, all this stuff that was going on that you never heard about.
Surprised you?
Yeah. I thought it was just going to be, like, a few people there. And surprisingly, I thought that most of the people there would be, wouldn't be as friendly to us because we were Americans, but they were actually very friendly to us.
Yeah,
and one person tried to.
Because the kids carried a flag around with them, and it was each of the groups that were there carried a flag, usually on a flagpole that was probably like 6 or 8 feet long, and it would have the flag and it would wave it around, and our group was carrying the American flag, and when they saw us, they were all going, USA, USA, USA. They were all shouting, like, they were all support. So, like, it was very nice to be welcomed like that.
What was the most enjoyable part of the trip for you?
I would say going to the beach.
Okay, what happened?
Oh, the beach is beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't bring my swimming suit because I didn't think we were actually going to go in the water. But, like, the sand was, like, gravel, but but the water was very clear. So, like, and the beach is here. We got the gray green water, but the sand's really good.
Yeah.
So I went swimming in my shorts, and I went like really far into the ocean. Then I got washed on the beach because of the huge waves.
The wave came in.
Yeah.
That's called baptism. whether you know it or not. You said you were the altar server at the daily masses?
Yeah, me and this one guy, Abraham.
And how was that for you? Do you like serving mass?
It was good, yeah, because I got to see, like, the differences between, like, churches all over the place, the difference in, like, styles that they use. Like, a lot of the places we went, they were using that Gothic style for the churches, and I got to see how, like, some of the decorations for the altars and the and like chalices that are different. I liked looking at the different chalices.
Yeah, we're up there. You got to see incorrupt body parts of saints.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I don't know what. What was that? Tell me about that. What was that?
Well, I didn't get to see it because lost at the time. But So an incorruptible saint is when a saint, like a part of their body or their whole body, doesn't decay after death,
and then that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I went to a church in New York City once, and they had a full incorrupted saint there.
Okay,
it was very weird. Dad, do you know the name of that place?
I can't remember. It was a
Saint Teresa.
Yep, that's it.
Saint Teresa.
Oh.
That's amazing though, because you see the saint. She's laid out in a glass coffin. And she looks like she died yesterday. And she died, I think that was in the 1800s, if I can remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I'd like to talk about, like when we were at the actual World Youth Day. We were out in like, this desert, and, we had to sleep in was, like, a...
Go ahead.
Tell us how much we had to walk to get to the...
Go ahead, let him tell.
Well, so, like, on the way of walking, there was, like, 5 miles. I don't know. Maybe exaggerating.
I think it was about 5 miles. Okay.
But then Father Johnny gives me this huge bag, and Enzo gives me this huge bag to carry. And I'm like, I got my blanket and the backpack, and then it's just really hot there. And so we get there, and then we were supposed to be right in front of the Pope, but... our section was full, so we had to go to a different section, hide our ID cards and all that. And we set up, the blankets along a fence, and we anchored them down so that you could go under them when it was raining. But, like, as soon as they told everybody to, like, start praying for the rain to stop, it almost immediately stopped.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
One question. Did this trip change your life in any way?
Yeah. Like, really made me closer to God and
wow,
just like more known, like knowing him as a friend instead of like a person.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Instead of somebody so far away, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's now a friend of yours.
Tell about like when it rained and the shelters that we had to make, the temporary shelters.
Yeah, mine fell apart almost immediately because like I was like sleeping all peacefully, and then Julie Lamar comes over, get out. And then a few other people came out. They're like, give us your stuff.
Well, thank you very much, and let's get our last young person
okay,
up
thank
here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great interview, by the way.
And tell us who you are. You're not another Froman, are you?
No. Please, no. No.
Please, no. Okay.
Are you related to Enzo in any way?
Hi, my name's Joel Lamar Suspedes. I'm not related
What's
to any.
What's your name again?
Suspedes, Joel Lamar.
How do you spell it?
I am not related to any of these people here.
Good. Good for you. Tell us a little bit about the trip for you.
The trip was great. I've been on other pilgrimages before to Europe, but this one was a lot different for me, especially because the other trips I've been to, it was people, you know, that I didn't, it wasn't really like people that I could connect with because, you know, most of them were already, you know, done with their life. You know, they just, out of college, out of everything, they were already grown up. So it was just me and my sister. So it was very uncomfortable because all I had was my sister to talk to. But on this trip, I had a whole bunch of young people.
And you're a sophomore in college, right?
Sophomore in high school.
High school, excuse me. Okay.
No, I'm homeschooled.
Okay. So, oh, all right.
Yeah.
But it was great because I had people that I could talk to, you know, and I could actually relate with my the way that I felt during the trip and my experiences. And we always had these talks. Like, sometimes we would get together at the end of the day and talk about how we had these experiences. And even when we didn't, I had a roommate to talk to and someone that I could, you know, feel different and stuff like that.
What are some of the experiences that you had that you would talk about?
Well, it was very touching experience. It was, especially the one in Fatima that they were talking about, the kneeling one. I did that, and you know, when I was going, I was just going and praying, and I didn't feel like I was, like, hurting myself. And I got up, and as soon as I left, I noticed my knee was all cut up and bleeding. It was horrible. Like, it was we had problems kneeling the whole time. When we went to the beach, as Sean said, our knees were still cut up. So going into the water and sitting down, it was very hard with the cuts on our knees.
What were you thinking of when you were doing that experience?
I was thinking of my family, and I started praying the rosary, and every Hail Mary, I had a different person in my mind.
Oh,
so,
isn't that sweet?
Yeah, it was very nice. By the end of it, I had, like, a whole bunch of people I had prayed for.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel really good, because I felt like, you know, Jesus was hearing my prayers, and that he understood that I wanted to pray for all these people, even though it was, you know, like, a whole bunch of people, but it was nice.
And did you like the actual exhibit at Fatima?
Yeah, I've actually been to Fatima before.
Okay.
So I've seen the exhibit twice now, and I've seen the crown and the bullet. It was really nice.
And we heard that there was teaching done every day, sometimes by a bishop, and that's what they were saying, the catechesis.
Yeah, they had Bishop Murphy was there too, yeah.
Who?
Bishop Murphy.
Who?
Who's that?
He's our bishop from our diocese. Yeah. He's a nice guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is. But, we had the catechesis?
Yeah.
It was 3 days for the whole week in World Youth Day, the whole World Youth Day program. We had 3 days where we would go to a church and we'd there was different languages everywhere, so we went to the English ones, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so we had, it was very nice. You know, we had people talking to us about things. Bishop Murphy had a nice talk. It was very funny.
He was funny?
It was very nice. Yeah.
He's good, yeah.
Yeah.
And what happened at the actual day when the Pope came at the World Youth Day? What was that like for you?
When the Pope came, actually, some of the people, when he first came, some of the people actually stayed in the hotel and when he was landing on his helicopter. So we had a whole bunch of screens around us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a whole bunch of people just, like, packed everywhere. We were all, like, in different places. I didn't even get to see him, like, landing. I just saw him from a screen.
He did land.
Another day, like, you know, we at the Via Crucis, we saw him in his little Pope Mobile, the little glass car. I love that car. It's so cute. And he was passing by all the stations, and it was very nice. You know, we saw his little car. It was so cute. And, we saw from afar. Some people were on top of trees. They were all climbing to see him. I was going to climb on a tree.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It also reminds me of Zacharias when he climbed the tree.
Did everybody bring a sycamore tree with them on the trip?
No.
I have one question. Palma has a ton of questions. I just have one.
Okay.
What's the most defining moment that you brought back from this trip?
I'd have to say the night that we stayed overnight in the Cuatro Vientos. Vientos.
Wow.
It was very nice, you know, because we all had to walk a very long time in the heat, and, you know, the water was kind of running low. I had this little, like, spray bottle. It was very hard to walk there, and then
spraying everybody.
Yes. Wow. I was just like, everybody, heat. But once we got there, we were all, like, setting up. We had, like, sleeping bags, and people just brought, like, blankets and stuff. And we all had, and we were like, oh God, I wish it would rain. And then it actually did start raining, and it was like thunder and everything. It was very scary because it was like a storm going on, and it was in the middle of us praying. And it was like a little mess.
Were you outdoors during that?
Yes, yeah, we were in a desert.
I heard about that.
I actually slept my sleeping bag. I had no idea until I actually went to bed. It was on top of a metal pole, this metal round thing. So I woke up and I didn't even sleep. I slept like 10 minutes out of the whole night. Like, I couldn't. I actually started, a couple of us went walking around. Some people were able to sleep. I guess they were tired, but some of us, we just went walking around, seeing all the people. It was very cool because even though some people were sleeping, some people were up just dancing around. It was like they were up, and it was like the middle of the night, and it was really cool to see everyone, you know?
Well, I have to tell you guys, if this didn't renew our listeners' faith in our youth, nothing will, because you guys have given such testimony and renewed our faith in you. You know, Palmer, we're in good hands.
Well,
this is the future future. We're in good hands, Palmer. Yeah. Another thing, they had a great time on this trip. I wanted to go. You wouldn't pay. Why wouldn't you pay for us to go?
Because I'm too cheap. But aren't you all close now?
Yeah, you know.
You all have a bond.
When we first went on the trip, I didn't really know anyone other than my roommate, who I've known for a while, and one of the other girls.
You were shaking your head when I said you're all close now. What do you mean by that?
I didn't know almost anyone. I mean, I recognized some people back from middle school, and after a trip, we really loved hanging out with each other. We just really became true friends with everybody, really.
And then, because you shared an experience. Your family, right?
And this is our youth. This is our youth. I'm so impressed. Yeah.
Trevor, we're going to go to cut three, and because we do a saint of a day. And you chose Don Bosco.
I chose Don Bosco or John Bosco, either way or. And I chose it again. I chose it yesterday. But it also relates so clearly to tomorrow's reading, tomorrow's gospel, tomorrow's Christ the King. And when Jesus tells us, feed my sheep, clothe the poor. And that's what John Bosco actually did. He wanted all his life to get involved with the youth and to help the youth and to help the poor. And you know what? Jesus answered that prayer. Because one early night, a December night in 1841, he was a young priest about to take service in a church in the Italian city. And from the back of the church, he heard grumbling and a rough voice saying, "Hey, you, get out of there!" And so he went to investigate. And it was the maintenance man of the church yelling at someone that was in the church. And so John Bosco went over to the maintenance man and says, "Why are you yelling at this boy? He don't belong in here." But John says, "This is a church. This church is open to everyone." And he asked the boy, "Did you come to pray?" And the boy said, "No, I come to keep warm." So he embraced the boy. And he took him in his care. And he gave him clothing. He made him work in the church to earn keep. And the youth's name, by the way, was Bartholomew. And he was 16 at the time when St. Bosco encountered with him. And he was helping a bricklayer just to make money to live. And so he asked him, "Can you read or can you write?" And the boy shook his head. "No, I don't know anything," he said. He had been a farm boy, had never been to school. His parents had died when he was a little boy, and he'd come to the city looking for work. And John Bosco knew that there were thousands of boys and girls like that. And the lucky ones, like Bartholomew, had someone to sleep. The others slept in doorways. And so you had to learn how to maintain yourself. This has been John Bosco's dream for a long time, and God put this dream right before him. He wanted to help feed and teach the street boys. By February, he opened a little sanctuary in the church for homeless boys. And so by February, there were 20 that came. And then it just kept growing and growing and growing and until finally, there were thousands of boys that he was helping. He was helping the homeless. He was feeding them. He was clothing them. And word spread throughout that Don Bosco was indeed going mad. He was bringing homeless boys to the church, and he would be taken away for a few weeks' rest. He should be taken away for a few weeks' rest in a mental institution. Two priests went in their horse-drawn carriage to his house to see what was going on. And he said, "Join us, Don Bosco." And one of them said, willingly, Don Bosco replied, "But first I have a plan I should like to discuss with you." And he began to tell them his dream of starting an order for the homeless. "So let's talk about this while we're riding around," he said. And of course, Don Bosco kept on. "Get into the carriage and we'll talk." "You first, please. You're more important than I am," he replied. No sooner were they seated in the coach when he slammed the door, shook at the driver to the asylum at once, he told him. And these two gentlemen were expected there. Later, John Bosco's mother came to help him run a boarding house that they helped him build for the homeless and for the poor. And so the city authorities recognized the good work John Bosco done and helped him to continue this work. And he just kept continuing his lifelong dream of helping, feeding the poor, helping the homeless, clothing the poor, feeding his sheep. That's what Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." And so he continued to do that. And then John Bosco, of course, he died in the 70s, and he became a saint.
You know, as you were reading that, I thought of Joe and Tim saying, can you imagine you're going to build a home for youth who are abandoned and on the streets, and you'll have thousands of young people? See what you started? Just by getting these young people to go. And
started with 19, you're up to 40. You'll be up to 1,000 soon.
Yeah, you did a wonderful job with that, Tony.
Oh, thank you. Was Jesus.
And you know, it's funny how the saints get chosen. We pray about it, and he just popped in.
Last minute. Always last minute, Charlie. I had to study. I had to read him up this morning. But the thing is, you know, we're all made to be saints. We all could be saints. I want to be a saint, Palmer.
You don't stand a chance.
Thanks, partner. But what else is there? Didn't St. Peter say, when Jesus asked him, "Are you leaving me too?" And Peter says, "Where else am I going to go? What else is there?" Is there anything else than becoming a Catholic and a saint?
You know, and there's one person who is not here that we do have to talk about, and that's Father Johnny. Because he really put this together. Yeah, what was he like on the trip?
Father Johnny was amazing.
Yeah. What did he do?
He'd spend all the his all time, you know, just making sure everything was okay for us and doing everything he could.
He's a fusspot.
Yeah. Right? Well, he
likes everything.
Not a fusspot, but
he
wants his way.
It done the way it should be done. He's good.
Yeah, he made sure everything was done the way that it was.
I got a secret. I'm going to tell it on the air. I got a secret.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to break it. Everybody says, "Oh, he never stops. Oh, he now where's he get all his energy?" But you know what I saw?
I saw
a picture of Father Johnny sleeping.
Please don't.
We got you, Father Johnny.
That was my picture.
You took the picture.
No, my mom did. I put it up on the poster board.
But he was the spark plug.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He held the whole trip together. You know, pulling me and Enzo out of the bars. No, he was terrific. He kept the whole thing. He had the itinerary. He got everybody up. He made sure everybody was on time for everything.
That's Father Johnny.
Yeah, he kept the whole thing on track. He was just wonderful.
He called everyone he could think of to get the trip together. Yeah. Finally, at a point, I says, "When I see your name on my phone, I'm not answering."
He actually saw us coming over here to the show.
He couldn't come. He had something else.
He had confessions. He had a full schedule. He really wanted to come. And we all met in front of St. Catherine's at 8:30, and he came out and he saw us all off and blessed us all, and then we went on our way coming out to the station.
So I think we should all just give a round of applause for Father Johnny.
Yay, Father Johnny! Yay!
And Tim, you're holding somebody on your lap. Who was this guy?
Aiden.
Aiden, and who are you, Aiden? Do you belong to him?
Yeah.
Wow. And you're happy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you look awful comfortable, and we should say hello to the producer, the co-producer of the half the trip, your mother.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you.
Say hello to Grandma Carol.
Hi.
And what about Grandpa?
And say hello to Grandpa.
Hi.
Well, that's wonderful. It's such a nice thing to see families together.
Future
and people.
Server.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. You know, I wanted to. I have a few songs, but I'd like to go to the last song because I think it really. It's just a statement. And you can all sing along with this if you want.
Is Sean, you want to sing?
No.
No.
Amazing grace. Why don't we just relax in God's peace and enjoy that peace of God.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
But we're going to play that again because now we have petitions right here on this table. All the people who have written in for all different things that they're praying for, family problems, health problems, work problems. Now, you're all young people. Why don't you just put your hands out and pray as Amazing Grace is played. And, Lord, we're asking for you to pour your grace now out unto all of these friends of ours from the hands of young people who have really taken a pilgrimage to you and have gotten closer to you, Lord. And we ask you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Go out across these airwaves. Touch Liz with Chiari disease and all the problems that she has associated with that. And Marita, who is being healed of the cancer that she had in her lungs. And the young people that we pray for, the very young people, David and others, who have had cancer and have been healed. And for people who are looking for jobs who have gotten them. And so many broken marriages, Lord, and people in trouble. We ask now, these young people now have their hands on all of the petitions that have been sent in. And we know, Lord, that you're touching the hearts, the souls, the minds, and the bodies of all of these people just through the power of the love in each young person here. You people are very special. You've had a special experience of God's presence in your mind, in your life. And we know that his love in your heart is going right out to these people. We believe that. And we know they're touched, and we know they're healed by people just like you, saying such beautiful, beautiful prayers and sharing your experience. We hope our audience was touched by your testimonies. That's what it's about. And maybe even just touching these people in paper, in this envelope that we have here.
And we know that Jesus must be so happy with you guys and all the youth throughout the world that went down to Madrid. Praise you guys.
And do you have any parting words you'd like to say? Have you ever prayed for healing for people before?
No. Yes.
Well, any parting words that you'd like to say? Go right ahead. Come on.
I was just thinking as we were praying before that we have to be thankful. Like, now is the time. Thanksgiving is coming up soon, for all the blessings we've received, and especially for the people who have supported us. I was thinking in mind our parents and our family who, along the way, helped make this trip possible for us. And, you know, just to just think about all the people who helped you along your life. They are a part of who you will become later on, so we have to take our opportunities and make the most out of them.
Wonderful.
So. Wow.
Jesus is always good, and remember, as long as you have him, you'll be fine wherever you are.
I don't know.
We're going to play that one more time, Trevor, as we go off. We're going to Amazing Grace the people. That's it. They're so, so wonderful just being with you young. You're making me feel young. You're making an old man feel young.
You're making us feel secure, because we know our old age is secure with you guys coming up there.
That's right.
Do you know that Santa is St. Nicholas?
What about?
Christmas is coming soon,
yeah,
Dr. Palmer.
St. Nicholas, right?
Yeah.
You want to tell Santa what you want?
No.
By the way, let's want peace all over the world.
Let's thank Jesus so much for letting this trip go through and how we touched your lives. And let's thank Father Johnny for being the catalyst for this trip. So,
and all these young people. We thank you.
Father Johnny.
God bless you guys.
Thank you, Father Johnny.
Thank you, Father.
They love you, Father Johnny.